the holy and the profane. Sounds like a soap opera, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, it kind of is, you see, because you've got God, the holy, on one hand, you've got Satan on the other hand. It's been that way for 6,000 years, and you're stuck in the middle somewhere. Hopefully we're leaning the right way. We all have good intentions, don't we? Well, maybe, usually, but a lot of times things go awry, even with the best of intentions. And our words may bring on unintended consequences. Go over to 1 Chronicles 13, verse 11. This is the story of David, the Ark, and Uzzah. David made a brand new cart, probably very elaborate, to carry the Ark. Great fanfare, music, rejoicing. And then Uzzah steadied the Ark because he hit a pothole or something. Did they have potholes back then? Or is that a new invention? But anyway, the ark shook, and so he reached up to steady it, and God killed him. 1 Chronicles 13, verse 11 to 12. So David threw a hissy fit. Well, maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration. But he was very displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Peruzza, break or breach of Uzzah, to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" So he was fearful. Maybe he didn't quite understand at this point exactly what he had done wrong. But, you know, the lesson maybe we should learn is we should be afraid of God sometimes. A little fear of God never hurt anybody. You see, David profaned, that was the second part of the holy and the profane, he profaned the commandment of God in not following the specific instructions for carrying the ark. He was very casual about those explicit instructions given for the transport of the ark, as he admits himself in 1 Chronicles 15, over a couple chapters, 15 verse 2. Then David said, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites." In the first place, they didn't carry it as they were instructed to. They built a cart for it. In the second place, there were a lot of people carrying the ark, who were not Levites. "For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark." The Levites were supposed to do it. "And to minister unto him forever." I suspect Uzzah was kind of complicit in disregarding the laws, disregarding the holiness of, or the laws about, the transport of the ark. But I'm sure they had good intentions. Let's continue in verse 11. "And David called for Zadok, Uriel, Isaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. And he said unto them, 'You are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify, make yourselves holy.'" They were not holy. They were profane to some degree or another. "So they were to sanctify themselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because you did it not at first, the Lord our God has made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order," not according to Hoyle. Anybody know what Hoyle is? How many of you know what Hoyle is? Oh my, the rest of you can come up and ask me later. It's the authoritative book on card playing, the rules of card playing. So everybody uses that phrase, according to Hoyle now. But they didn't do it according to the prescribed manner, according to the laws that were established for doing those things. "So the priests and Levites sanctified themselves," that is, they made themselves holy, "to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded in the first place, according to the word of the Lord." You know, I'm struck how many people died because of David's sin. sins. Not just in this case, but in other instances. And then I get to thinking, how many people have died or not been healed or not been saved because of sins? My sin, your sin, our sin. Something to think about. Go over to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23. This section defines the problem. David profaned the ark and the laws regarding it, and in other instances, and people died. David was not the only one who defied the holiness of God. When God says something, he means it. Ezekiel 22, verse 24, we'll start. And the Lord, word of the Lord came unto me, saying, there is a conspiracy of the prophets. The prophets were getting together, plotting mischief. In the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls, they have taken the treasures and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests, the prophets, now we got the priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. They just didn't neglect to make clear that some things right and some things are wrong. Neither have they showed any difference between the unclean and the clean, and they have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. It appears that even the absence of holiness is an act of profaning. An absence of holiness is a lack of profaning. That's a point to ponder. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. Greed, one motivation. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. They didn't use tempered mortar as they were instructed. Seeing vanity and dividing lies unto them, saying that thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression. So we got the prophets, the priests, and the people covered in this section. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. They have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me in the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. Why have we had trouble for 6,000 years? The law. Neglect, profaning the law. Therefore I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Skip over to Ezekiel chapter 44. This chapter shows the solution. I'll hit the high points, but I'd recommend you read the whole chapter yourself. Begin in verse 5 of Ezekiel 44. And the Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well. Now, there's two words there. It just means to set, to direct your mind, your knowledge, your thinking. Get focused. Reflect. Use your memory of what's happened and what needs to happen. And behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, all that I say unto thee, all that I say unto thee, concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord, and all the laws thereof, all the laws thereof. And mark well, he says it again, the entering into the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. Do you get the feeling here that we're supposed to listen up, pay attention, read the fine print? Know the law. And you shall say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, O you house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations. Let it suffice you. That is, quit your abominations. Enough is enough. Enough is too much. God has set stoplights, red flags, warning signs all over the place. How would you like to be in the driver's seat, Moses' seat? Well, most of us will not be in that position or in any great leader position of leadership, but you are in a position of leadership to one degree or another. You're leading your neighbor, your family. Read that whole chapter yourself. Here are a few of the instructions given. In verse 21, neither shall the priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Number 23, and they shall teach my people the difference. The minister is supposed to teach the people the difference between the holy and the profane. Shouldn't need to, but we need to be taught, I guess. And cause them to discern between the clean and the unclean. And, verse 24, and in controversy they shall stand in judgment. So somebody's going to stand in the judgment and say, this is right, this is wrong. And shall judge it according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies. And they shall hallow my Sabbaths. What are things like today? Well, same way they've been for 6,000 years, basically. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. There's no need to elaborate on this point too much. We all know how debased and that everything has become. The point here is to consider how far we have backslid, personally. How much we take things of God too lightly. The Apostle Paul foretells the situation, its pollution on a massive scale. Nothing is left undefiled. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 9. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And that's a lot. Covers almost everything, I think. From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. Now the feminists grab onto that real quick. Yeah, there's Paul picking on the women again. Led away with different lusts, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. But they fail to note that he switches gears here. Now, as Jannes and Jambres, two men probably in the time of Moses, they may have been working for Pharaoh, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds. So women are silly women laden with sins, but the men are of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as also theirs was. There's a check chart for us that I think covers just about every category of profane belief and action. Let's go over to Leviticus 11, verse 41. What a warning to us and all of mankind. To profane something that's holy can be as serious as blasphemy or rebellion, but it can be very slight, too, as minimizing or disregarding that which is holy. Merriam-Webster says to profane, first, he gives two definitions, to treat something sacred with abuse, irreverence, or contempt, to desecrate something. The second one I thought was really interesting, too. To debase by a wrong, unworthy, or vulgar use. To not hold something in high esteem that should be held in high esteem. To negate it. To make it less value than it ought to be. So how should things ought to be? Leviticus 11, verse 42. Whatsoever goes upon the belly, when whatsoever goes upon all four, or whatsoever has more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them you shall not eat. For they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile, that is, profane yourselves, with any manner of creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. For I am the Lord that brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moves in the waters and of every creature that creeps upon the earth, to make a difference between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and the profane, and between the beasts that may be eaten and the beasts that may not be eaten. Skip down to verse 22. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, all of them. And pretty specific. Remember Uzzah and David. That the land whither I bring you to dwell in, spew you not out. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nation, which I cast out before you. You shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it. A land that flows with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people. He has made us all separate. You shall therefore put a difference between clean and unclean, beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have severed you, separated you from you as unclean. Verse 26, and you shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy. He repeats that again. And have severed you from other people that you should be mine. A man or also or a woman that has familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. I believe we're seeing a resurgence of spiritism and those kinds of things today. Okay, let's enumerate some things that are profane and how we profane things. There's another check chart in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1. First of all, what are we talking about? The biblical meaning of profane and its synonyms are enlightening. Profane means properly to bore, like to make a hole. I picture a bucket with a hole in it. It doesn't hold anything. All the holiness runs out. To wound, dissolve, to profane, to break, to begin, as if opening a wedge. You know, you just stick a little wedge in something. It's not much, but it begins to develop into a big crack. To break, defile, pollute, to prostitute, slay, sorrow, stain, wound. Those words all sound rather incriminating. Let me skip down here a little bit. There's a whole lot more that it means. But when we profane things, we do all those things against the law of God, against all those things that are holy. In Leviticus 19, verse 2, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall fear every man his mother and father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn you not unto idols to make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. And it keeps going on and on and on. I am the Lord your God. It uses that phrase, I am, 8 times, referring to God and his holiness. In all of Scripture, that phrase is used 163 times. I am the Lord. So we don't want to pollute that name. He's very jealous of his name. Go over to Numbers chapter 35 and verse 30. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for life of a murderer which is guilty of death. But he shall surely be put to death. And skip down to verse 33. So you shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood, it defiles the land, and the land cannot be cleansed by the blood that is shed therein, except by the blood of him that shed it. Defile, pollute not, therefore, the land which you shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. So we see two synonyms for pollute, defile, or profane, two synonyms for profane, defile and pollute. Okay, you can defile something clean by making it or calling it unclean, or by mixing it with the unclean things. That's called syncretism, which was a modus operandi of the Gnostics. But sadly, we can use it ourselves quite well, thank you. We normally don't commit big sins, so to speak, but it's really easy for us to justify minor infractions of the law. But Jesus said in Matthew, "Be you therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." He didn't say come as close as you can without making yourself uncomfortable. And if he didn't make himself clear enough, here are his words in Luke 16, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much." Huh. "And he that is unjust in the least." You missed being perfect by that far. "You're unjust also in much." There's a correlation there. There's no fudge factor. This way that we're to walk doesn't say, what can I get by with, but how perfectly can I follow directions? Be obedient to God's laws. Just think of this. All science, education, politics, religion, marriage, everything is deficient, corrupt, vain, and doomed to failure without God's laws. Perfect. If you want a perfect example of any of these things, keep the laws perfectly. Over in 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. "Now let's enumerate the things that are holy. God is holy. So everything he is and has made, all is holy. Don't pollute it anyway. Even unclean animals are holy. They're designed for a purpose, for a reason. And if you put it to any other use than what God designed it for, that's profaning it. It's frustrating the purpose for which God had intended. So even the law is holy and not to be profaned. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned," unpolluted. Don't mix it with anything. Be faithful. Have faith. "From which some having served have turned aside unto vain jangling." Wow. People hear a little jingle or jangle. It reminds me about the kids on the block when they hear the jingles of the ice cream truck coming down there. "We got to follow that truck." That's what people do when they see the pleasures of sin. Want to follow the bells. "Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say." Reminds me of that guy that Mr. Martin came in touch with, the apostle. "From which some having swerved," "from which some having swerved have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, according to ways intended to be used. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient." Sometimes we're lawless and not real obedient. for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile, pollute themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, anything, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. How cavalier can you be with holy things? Just a good question, isn't it? How easy can we take things? Or do we have to, how much do I have to do? How much can I do to be perfect? Go over to Exodus 20, verse 1. No, I'm going to skip that one. Even seemingly minor things to us can carry enormous repercussions. Wine, as I mentioned before in the scripture, wine was forbidden to the priests when in the service of the tabernacle. So, what does that have to do with us? Well, we don't have any priesthood today, but we have people taking on a responsibility to handle God's word, whether you're giving a prayer, a sermon ordained or not. It doesn't make any difference. If you're using God's word, you're responsible for it. And if you're using it in an official manner, wine is forbidden to the priest when in the service of the congregation. Does that apply to me? I think so. We had a discussion a long time ago, with a deacon in the Worldwide Church of God. And he said, we both came up with this simultaneously. We got to talking about it. We both got saying, if I have a sermonette or sermon or whatever it was that day, we don't take wine. We don't drink alcoholic beverages. So we weren't taught that. We should have been taught that. It's a basic thing. And look at Uzzah. If we had been partaking of alcohol and using God's word and make a mistake, whose fault is that? Leviticus 10, verse 8. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou and thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may put difference between the holy and the profane, between the clean and the unclean. Verse 11, and that you may teach the children of Israel. You're supposed to teach the children of Israel all these things, the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Maybe we need to take a new look at everything again. It doesn't hurt. Both physical and spiritual. All things were made by God. Let's keep it perfect. Colossians gives us a glorious view of Christ. Colossians 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Perfect, holy, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he wants it kept the way he made it. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence. I think we ought to keep that holy too. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It is all holy, created by him and for him. So we have to give thanks and treat it like it is holy, because it is. And we are all exhorted to holy thought and action. I'll leave you the thought of Peter that Peter had on the subject in 1 Peter 1, verse 13 to 16. Excuse me. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 to 16. Instructions on how we begin to do this. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Yeah, obviously. and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, obedient, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, even in your ignorance. Oh, but we had a good intentions, but we're sometimes ignorant. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. That is conduct, your intentions. Because it is written in Leviticus 19:2, be you holy, for I am holy.